This is TWiT.
The Beijing Municipal Bureau of Public Security has announced on Sina Weibo, a Chinese microblogging service, not unlike Twitter, that authorities have shut down the websites responsible for the WireLurker malware and arrested suspects in the case. WireLurker has gotten a lot of security attention as of late as a new type of malware that could attack non-jailbroken iOS devices through apps in third-party app stores. Security firm Palo Alto Networks first publicly revealed the threat and described how malware running on Mac OS X could download the malicious apps from third-party stores, and then when it detected an iOS device connected through a USB port, install malicious apps on the device. The attackers used enterprise certificates to sign the apps, which Apple has since revoked. The Chinese authorities say that three suspects are under arrest for making and distributing the malware, and that the site is shut down. The Reform Government Surveillance Coalition, which includes Facebook and Google and Twitter and Microsoft and Apple, big companies, is lobbying to curb the U.S. National Security Agency's surveillance powers and more transparency on government data requests. The coalition added its support for the race to pass the USA Freedom Act bill through the U.S. Senate before the end of the year. The bill would also allow technology companies to disclose the number and the types of data demands from government as part of a transparency push from the industry. The Senate vote is set for tomorrow, November 18th, but it is unclear whether enough senators will vote in favor of the bill to keep it going. Uber and Spotify, kind of an unlikely team, but they have teamed up so that riders can play tunes from Spotify during their Uber ride. So this is how it works. After you hail a car via Uber, you could then decide what music you'd like to hear and then have the car arrive while playing that music already when it picks you up. Then you can control the music for the duration of the trip once you connect your paid streaming account inside Uber's app to opt in. The partnership will launch on November 21st in London, Los Angeles, Mexico City, Nashville, New York, San Francisco, Singapore, Stockholm, Toronto, and Sydney, with a larger rollout in the next few weeks. The driver also needs to connect their phone to the car's stereo in order for you as the rider to take advantage, although Uber claims drivers are excited about playing all your music. Yeah, I bet they're really just so very excited. Apple announced today that App Store customers in China can now link their UnionPay debit or credit cards to their Apple IDs for purchases. If you're not familiar with UnionPay, China UnionPay is a bank card network approved by China's State Council and the People's Bank of China and has issued more than 4.5 billion cards in China. It's available in all cities as well as an overseas market. It's also the only interbank network in mainland China to link all ATMs, so Chinese merchants have to use UnionPay to process payments, as well as foreign credit card companies like Visa, MasterCard, and American Express, which pay UnionPay a fee for each transaction. Previously, customers made payments on the App Store through a telecom operator like China Mobile, for example, with their credit cards or through prepayments. Speaking of making payments, today, ephemeral messaging service Snapchat, that's popular with all the kids and some adults too, announced a new way for users to swap money with each other inside the app. Joining us with the details is Harry McCracken, technology editor for Fast Company. Hey, Harry.
Hey, Sarah.
Good to have you back. And I have to say today, my first reaction when I heard that I could send you money as my Snapchat friend from within the app, I just kind of had to scratch my head and say, well, but why would I do that? Isn't Snapchat about messages that go away after 10 seconds or so? How is this going to work?
That's a really good question, especially because Snapchat says that it doesn't really test things with real people ahead of time. So the only people who have done this so far are Snapchat employees. But basically, if you're talking to a friend and you mention wanting to send them $5, Snapchat can recognize you said that. And it's working with Square to do this. Square has a similar service called Square Cash that works through email.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't already have a Square account, you will then be prompted to sign up for a Square Cash account, which is really quick and easy and involves you putting in your debit card. And from then on, it sounds like it's going to be about as simple as sending cash to another person can be.
It's interesting to me that Snapchat and Square have teamed up. Square has a variety of products. In fact, they just deprecated one of the Square Wallet apps that I use all the time. But Square Cash, as you mentioned, it works over email. It works very well. There's also a standalone app. What do you does Square want to be part of Snapchat just because Snapchat is so hot right now and has so many users?
Well, for the last year or so, Square has been rolling out new services constantly to kind of roll out its portfolio. And despite the fact that Square Cash is really neat, I don't get a sense that it's enormously popular. And this sounds like it's a way to take the technology that Square developed for Snapcash and bring it to a really large audience of people.